Honey, I blew up the business.
Welcome to the podcast. We've got Nick Gobier here today. Lovely to see you, Nick.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Well, it's a real pleasure to have you here. For those that don't know Nick, she's another one of these unbelievably accomplished people we often have on this podcast. And all I like to do is embarrass you by reading out your illustrious CV. But she's been an entrepreneur for 18 years, plus minus.
You're making me feel old now.
Well, don't worry, we're all in a category. I'm into two decades now, so we're all getting on a bit. But she's a founder of Blurred, or should I say Blurred.global now.
Evolution last week, yeah.
They're an international management, communication and creative consultancy. And that's really kind of like skimming over the top of what they do. It's really, we'll get into this. But multiple award winning, extremely fast growing, really focused on purpose and delivering change in the world. She's a regular feature in lists of amazing people.
I pay a lot of money to be on those lists.
You should do, because it's very impressive. She's featured in PR Week's top 10 power list for comms leaders. And in February last year, she was awarded the PR Communicator of the Year by a global networking organization, Women in Marketing. Woo!
Exciting, right?
So she'll be communicating far better than me and showing me up again, yet again. And she's an advocate of a wide range of purpose-led issues, from diversity, the environment, corporate governance, which she's integrated into her company, which I think is really interesting and great. Her previous agency was called Unity. And at that, she was named one of the Sunday Times 35 Under 35. And Management Today magazine featured her on its cover. Woo!
I was heavily pregnant at the time. I mean, that was a long, long time ago. It was 11 years ago. Shows how old I am now.
Well, there you go. You've made it on the cover. So, and she's an investor, all-round bright spark. So I'm super excited to have you here. And she's very open about lots of stuff that's happened in her life. So I think we're in for a great conversation.
Thank you.
I have to remind everyone that this podcast is brought to you by my company, The Tech Department. That's the business I blew up in 2017. But we're still going. We managed to turn it around. The purpose and the entire point of this podcast, my purpose, is to avoid doing that again for me, primarily, because I don't want to do that again. But secondly, for you, dear listener, because we've all got to tippy-toe our way through this entrepreneurial life and there's lots of pitfalls. So hopefully you'll get loads of great stuff. And if you do get loads of great stuff, please share and comment and subscribe and rate and review and all that good stuff and help us help other people. So, which leads me on to our first question. I've been doing my research and I've been looking at Nick's life in the last few years, and she's had an action-packed life.
I sure have.
Yeah, and as I think it's that Chinese proverb about kind of, what was it, kind of interesting times. She's been living through interesting times. About 4 years ago, she left a business that she co-founded and built with her, quotes, bare hands for over a decade, then launched another business, which has grown very quickly. Obviously, a pandemic kicked off. And then Nick's had something of what I call a cancer scare, but a whole brush with the big C, and then lots of other stuff around that. So this period's been super intense.
Yeah. Yeah. And a couple of small kids, not along the way, but, you know, managing all of that with us.
Yeah.
The family as well is a tricky one.
I have a young family, or they're not so young now, they're kind of in their teens, but I've had a young family. So you forget that. I kind of price that into, but it is, of course, a thing you've got to navigate with too. So I want to just go back, I guess, it's 4 years ago, 2018. Because I'm interested in this because I've run a business, I've building a business, and it's my baby. And you left this business, Unity, which was, I guess, your baby.
Yeah.
And one thing, I saw a piece about it, and you said, and I'm going to quote you back to yourself, quotes, "I am really excited about this next phase of my career," unquote, which I thought was the most anodyne, non-realistic thing that someone would really say in the real world. And I'm not dissing you there, but just I thought that I know behind those words that are kind of calm and collected and relatively safe, there was a whole story. So do you want to, like, what really happened? We're in a safe space to talk about the real deal here. What went down in 2018?
Well, you say that, but there are various legal and contractual obligations I'm under. But To cut a long story short, I set up Unity and co-founded it and co-ran it with a business partner for 12 years. And I put everything into it. You know, it was my first baby, you know, before my kids came along. And I loved it. And I loved the people in it. I was so proud of it. It was, you know, lauded in many ways and won loads of awards. But behind the scenes, it wasn't quite what the external world thought it was. And for various reasons, I reached a point where it was untenable for me to stay. But as a 50-50 partner, those that have ever been in those situations will know it's incredibly difficult to extricate yourself from a situation where, you know, as a shareholder, you're not allowed to do anything that damages the company, and yet walking away from the company invariably does damage it. So you end up in a legal situation, and I effectively, to walk away, had to be willing to walk away with nothing, which is pretty hard after 12 years. And when your other half is a stay-at-home dad and you have two children and a relatively expensive life to uphold. But it reached a point where something had to give. And I think facing that head on and saying, you know what, I'm just going to do this, and throwing caution to the wind really and just backing myself was really tough. I look back at it now and I'm like, oh, how did I do it? But the truth is, I had an amazing friend who was an amazing coach, and she refused to coach me because she was one of my best friends. But of course she did. It just meant I didn't pay her. And funnily enough, she is a non-exec director of People and Purpose in my new company and coaches everyone as part of it. Because I'm like, if you got me to do that, then you can get anyone to do anything. So, you know, she's a vital part of the business now. But it was really tough. And I took 8 months off. And in that time, it was weird because I lost my identity. You know, I'd turn up to things and be like, hi, I'm Nick from... I mean, who am I? You know, I'd so long been associated with something. And I remember doing a talk at the PRCA following some major people and being on stage as no one. It was the weirdest thing. You know, I had no job title, no company. And actually, I just used it to talk about kind of leaning into these fears and when things look, frankly, terrifying, how they can be... the making of you. If you're interested, I'll give you a bit of an overview of that talk, actually. Was it worth me just...
Yeah, no, go for it. Yeah, please, yeah, do.
It was basically called When Wrong is Right. And I just wanted to make this... I felt I needed to look around in that time and look for practical examples of things that at the time looked horrific, but ended up being the making of people or things. I needed to believe that that's what I was doing, you know. And I found these incredible examples like Steve Jobs. You know, he was kicked out of his own company. He was kicked out of Apple, and he did this amazing talk at Stanford where he talked about that being such a low moment in his life because it was so public, so publicly humiliating and embarrassing. And I wasn't kicked out of my company, but it, you know, I understood what he was saying. And he said then suddenly he woke up one day and he felt freedom. And he then went into one of the most creative periods of his life. He, you know, co-founded Pixar and of course eventually went back to Apple, and the rest is history. But I then kind of obsessively looked for these types of examples. You know, Walt Disney, he was bankrupt by his mid-20s and had to start, you know, again from scratch. Lego, one of my favourite examples, you know, when Lego was a really successful business and it built toys out of wood, it was a horrific fire and it raised the factory to the ground. Disaster. But actually, when the founder went to rebuild it, he looked at the world around him and said, well, what's different about the world now? Well, there's plastic and maybe I could use plastic. And he created the brick and the rest is history. And had that fire not happened, you know, he would have continued to make toys out of bricks, and the Lego we know and love at the scale we know and love now would never have existed. So I'm just a massive believer that there are silver linings and we need to find them. And although it was terrifying for me leaving Unity, I cannot tell you how happy I am in my new life now and the business that I built. And I remember someone saying to me, but you're going to leave with nothing. Mm. And I was like, no, I'm not leaving with nothing. I'm leaving with 12 years of invaluable experience. You know, I am an evolved human being. The work that's under my belt, the relationships, that's not nothing. And actually, when I took that step forward and left, the outpouring of love and support from people I'd never met, and those I had met, was phenomenal. And I look back at it as one of the most terrifying moments in my life, but also the moment that, you know, leapfrogged me to a way better place. And I'm extremely proud of that. And that's why I think I've built such a values-led business with my co-founders now, because that's everything. You know, having people who believe what you believe, in terms of values, in terms of a purpose, in terms of making a difference, now to me is everything.
It's funny. It's very true. And I mean, a couple of business experiences that it's kind of same sort of thing, leaving with nothing, quotes on quotes. Or like the whole thing behind this podcast was a total like horrendous experience on every level, but it was a teacher and took me into a deeper part of myself that then, to your point about values and purpose and applying that, without that, I my life would be a lot less rich. But I'm interested.
Well, I just want to make the point that I didn't actually end up leaving with nothing, by the way. I did end up selling my shares. It's just that when I made the decision to do it, I did it in the knowledge that that could well be the situation where I ended up. So I just want to clarify that point.
That's fair. But what's interesting is that particular moment in time. So it panned out, and okay, it wasn't complete. It wasn't nothing. But there was a point in time when you thought it was. And we've all been there. 3 a.m. You wake up in the middle of the night, and you feel like you've thrown your life away.
Well, not just the 3 a.m. That's what I was told, you know, legally. And still, I never truly realised the value of that. But it just that it wasn't it wasn't quite. It didn't quite pan out to be that. But it really could have been. And it wasn't just my dark thoughts at night. It was, you know, that was legal advice that said if you're going to do this, you have to be willing to do that. And I was. And I never. And even if I hadn't got anything through it, I'd still never regret it.
So I'm gonna like, because I'm always interested in this, the moment of truth kind of thing, like that moment when that you got that, you're sort of in the room or on the call with the lawyer, and you've decided, or you're thinking of deciding, or there's this formative moment where the decision's happening, and you get that advice, and then the sort of cliff edge appears, as it were, right? This is the bit I think, again, it gets skipped over because it resolves itself. Like Steve Jobs goes back like a hero, or you learn what you can see it now. But at that moment in time, what was going through your mind?
Well, I'm actually going to take a step back and explain something that's quite surreal. And I didn't think I realized I was doing this at the time, but I clearly was. So the company ended up being a bit of a cage to me. You know, I couldn't leave it for all of those things. And the year before, my husband and I decided to embark on this experiment. And when I say my husband, I mean I did, and he had to go along for the ride. But I said, I want to see how little money we can survive on for 1 year. You know, and it became like a project. And the reality I realize now, what I was actually trying to do, even though I didn't realize it, because I hadn't got the confidence, I hadn't allowed myself to even believe that I could leave this company. But subconsciously, I now look at that and go, that's why. And literally, you know, I didn't buy a coffee for a year, cut my kids' hair. You know, we did not spend money. And it's not that we didn't have it. We did have it. It was just, I think it was also slightly pushing back against overt capitalism and, you know, stuff and consumerism and all of that stuff. But underpinning it was just this notion of, can we get by, you know? So I think I'd done that. And in doing that, and also at the end of the experiment, what we realized was we were no less happy when we weren't spending money than when we were. And of course, we've flipped back now. And of course, we spend money again. But actually, our happiness as a family remained the same, which was really great to see. But of course, there was just a moment in time when I couldn't hide from it, and I was so good at suppressing things. I really am, and I'm really good at, like, my coach and my friends, they just laugh at me because when I move on, I'm gone. You know, I totally move on, but I find it really hard to move on. But once I have, it's like, who, what? You know, it just doesn't exist for me anymore, be that relationships or businesses or whoever else. But there just became a point when it was on, when I couldn't hide from it anymore. And that horrific realization that something would now have to be done. And I would love to be able to tell you, I'll tell you off the record afterwards, something that somebody said to me that actually was the final trigger point. But that is not something, unfortunately, I can say on air purely for legal reasons. But I'll tell you afterwards. If, as long as you promise you've stopped recording.
I promise I'll stop recording. Yeah, no, but it's interesting. So this sort of thing was rumbling in your subconscious then, and it came was. To a head.
Yeah. It just one day, when it and once it was out of Pandora's box, there was simply no putting it back in.
All right. So this thing's idea it sprung out of the subconscious into the conscious. And you're like, okay, I can't ignore this. And but the result of that decision or realization or idea was a whole load of things that could go wrong.
Yeah.
I say wrong, but like with significant impact for your family and career and what have you. I'm interested in, I'd like to come back to this, but the coaching thing, which maybe we can go more into later as a general principle for people. But you said quotes, it got me to do that, like make the decision. Like I'm interested, what was the thing you were wrestling with and how did you get channeled?
Well, just because it was too, you know, I'm a really loyal person and leaving the business that you've set up with someone you care about, regardless of whether it's the right thing to do or not, I found that really difficult because one of the things I pride myself on is being really loyal to people and I'm hugely empathetic by nature. So for me to turn my back on a partnership like that was unbelievably difficult. But that coaching just really helped me understand and see the bigger picture, really, and to, you know, walk beyond to move beyond the things that I felt were important to see what was really going on. And I still, you know, it's not that, you know, I'm absolutely not saying here that there was anything wrong with my business partner, but we were not aligned in terms of values. Doesn't mean his values were wrong, by the way. It's just they weren't aligned with mine. And when those things clash, it leaves you in a difficult place. But it was really difficult to be able to say to the person that I've been really close to for 12 years, I'm done. You know, I'm done here. Like, that's really hard. And, you know, it didn't end well and we haven't spoken since and we probably never will, you know. But that's a hard thing to then, you know, lean into. So I needed support to give me the confidence and to work through the practicalities. You know, and this amazing exercise she did where she said I was allowed 20 minutes a day of fear. And in those moments of fear, I just had to keep asking the question of what next, what next, what next. So I walk away and I lose everything. Okay, so what next? Well, then I can build a business that I actually believe I should be running. Okay, then what next? You know, and this point of but almost going to the end of the road. So then what next? Well, I'll need investment for that. Okay, but I can probably get that right. So what next? Well, I've actually got loads of savings because I've, you know, planned inadvertently for this. Okay, so what next? So you kind of end up in a situation of going, right, so genuinely the worst situation in the world is I'm highly employable and I'd have to get a job. Is that okay? All right, you know, it is. And so kind of working through all of those processes. And then she also said this amazing thing. She said, a lot of people who get, I have to try and remember to get this right, a lot of people who get divorced because of an affair, the affair isn't the reason they got divorced. They want to get divorced, but they're terrified that there is no one else out there for them. So they have the affair, it gives them the confidence, and then they get divorced. And she said to me, you need to have an affair. Now, she didn't mean that in terms of an extramarital affair. She said, you need to flirt with the idea of what your life could be if it was different. So she gave me this exercise. She said, go and write down the company you would build if you had a blank sheet of paper and if you could start again. And I went away that night and I wrote the word blurred and I wrote the proposition and I wrote down the company that exists now. And it was the equivalent of having that affair because it was suddenly that realization and belief that actually this is exciting and there could be something different for me. And it was less about leaving something that was going to break my heart and more about starting something new that was going to build my heart, if that makes sense.
No, it does make complete sense. That's really interesting. You're kind of managing one's emotions.
Yeah.
Fear, hope. You know, yeah. These are things that are, can sound a bit, hope in particular sounds a bit intangible and a bit woo-woo, but these are things that drive one, belief.
Yeah.
Yeah, confidence. So these are things, where does that come from? You know, it's like a kind of intangible thing that you can't quantify it per se. You know, it's not a data, but it's real.
Yeah.
And I think what's interesting is it was the tool there of actually documenting and articulating your fears.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sounds very powerful.
Leaning into them, really facing them. So if anyone wants a brilliant coach, message me and I will recommend her. But her name's Nicola Blee, B-L-E-E, and she's amazing. So I strongly suggest, and I now wouldn't, well, I'm coached every 2 weeks now, you know, as is everyone in my company, and I wouldn't dream of facing difficult things without that now. And in fact, not just difficult things, it's just part of my life now.
On that specific point, why would that be?
Just because it's very, well, I for one definitely, as I said, ignore things that are difficult sometimes. So having someone force you to lean into the hard stuff is really important. And again, Blair's success is undoubtedly because there is somebody who holds me to account constantly and pushes me to be better. And not in terms of my work performance, etc., but to be true to what I really believe. And that makes, you know, a massive difference. Also, I find it massively helpful that there's someone I can vent to so that for the rest of the world, I'm a sane, normal human being. You know, those could never be broadcast, put it that way.
it's funny. I think people, there's a myth that you, entrepreneurs particularly, this kind of like thrusting individualists that are out, you know, doing their thing. And I think there's a more broadly, people are kind of assumed to be able to survive on their own kind of thing. But humans, there's a lot of like mental activity that rolls around, well, my head for sure. And having that ability to externalize them with someone who's going to mirror stuff back or hold you to account or actually just allow you to sort through that stuff and rant.
Yeah.
Kind of like it's a form of therapy, but in not, you haven't got an illness per se or condition. No, there's nothing wrong with it. I was diagnosed with depression about 8 years ago, But being able to kind of get this stuff out is like just helpful. And I think that's really a kind of great lesson in there for everyone to have that person, whether formal or informal, in their life.
And also to have things that put life in perspective. So another thing that I'm always really open about is I had 6 miscarriages. I've got 2 gloriously healthy children, but the path for me was really hard. And I think and that was in those fear moments, you know, in terms of leaving UTI, I'd look to things like that, you know, I'm not losing a child, you know, let's put this in context. I have 2 healthy children. And I've always as well looked to things like that, like without a question of a doubt, having those miscarriages made me a better parent. You know, I never complained about being up all night, you know. And I'm not knocking people who do, by the way, because it is exhausting. But I was so grateful to have a screaming baby at 3 in the morning. And it totally made me reassess my work-life balance. And, you know, throughout my entire career, well, since I had children, you know, I have had balance in my life. You know, I work incredibly hard, but I tend to work at a very fast pace within set hours. And at 6 o'clock, I switched to being a mum, you know. And I have done that consistently. You know, sometimes I have to work up super early or whatever the case is, but it made me better because I was so grateful for having those children in my life. There was no way I was going to take them for granted. And I think I probably would have done if they'd come easy. I think I would, you know. So this is what I mean. I do look for the silver linings, but not because I'm desperately scrabbling around for them, but because I genuinely believe that, to quote you, they're the teachers. You know, that experience made me a better parent. The experience of having to walk away from a company I loved meant that I built a different type of company the second time round. You know, I think this stuff is vital. I'm neurodiverse, I'm dyslexic and quite severely, and I have a sleep condition. I see them as superpowers. I see things that people don't see at all. I'll sit in a room and be like, how can you not see this? This is so obvious. Yet, honestly, asking me about time differences or whether the clocks are going backwards or forwards, and it blows my mind. But all of these things for me are huge strengths.
Yeah, and this is the thing. I think there's, similarly, these are all strengths. This is the paradox of a lot of this stuff. Like, your strengths are also your weaknesses.
Yeah.
It's being able to see it and be comfortable with that paradox and focusing on that and working with, importantly, other people who can complement your blind spots. I'm similar. I'm very creative. I can just riff and keep going, and I can keep that. I'm like unbelievable at coming up with ideas. But try and make me do. I just went on a trip, a flight recently, and trying to do the admin around the damn COVID tests driving me insane, because it was like high stakes. Like, I can't go on the holiday. Not actually that difficult. It was just some admin. Yeah. And I couldn't do it. I mean, seriously, I was stressed out of my mind for about 3 weeks trying to fill these forms in or whatever.
Look, I totally get it. I was driving back from dropping my daughter the other day and my clock said 7:02 in the car and my watch said 7:06 and I spent the entire journey back trying to work out whether my clock was fast or slow. And at the end of the journey, sorry, I even turned this on to silent and I still couldn't work it out. So I just gave up. You know, some things I'm so stupid with. I just simply don't understand. Like that. So that's a prime example. I turned my phone to silent. I did, yet it still rang on my computer. I don't even understand how that's possible.
Well, I'm blaming Steve Jobs for that. He might have come back to Apple after his terrible disgrace, but he ruined it by putting a phone to laptop thing.
Yeah, I've turned it off on them. I've silenced my phone.
It does everybody in that. So all right. So there's really beautiful amounts of really interesting stuff in there. So rich for people, I think, for facing or going through or looking at any kind of these kind of challenges. But I'm going to go take you back. We've exited Unity now, and you're kind of in this period in 2018, and there was an interesting period between Unity and Blurred where you were kind of, it seemed like you were absorbing lots of information stuff from the world. Can you speak on that?
Yeah, well, I wanted to do all the things I hadn't done when I was too busy working. So I started teaching crochet in the village school. Amazing. And being part of my village community. But then I still used to go to London 2 or 3 days a week and just meet people. And it sounds a bit random, and it sounds like some kind of weird Tinder thing, but it wasn't. It was more like if I saw someone say something interesting, I just hit them up on LinkedIn and go, look, there's no agenda here, but, you know, I've challenged myself to meet interesting people. I'm on a bit of a break from a career perspective. Do you want a coffee? And I ended up meeting, you know, internationally renowned artists and going to the House of Lords and all sorts of things. And it's amazing how many people wrote back to me. And I think part of that was also me just trying to prove to myself that I was worthy and that I could hold my own. But inadvertently, as part of that, I actually ended up co-creating the concept of Blurred with so many great people. I mean, as well as my founders, who obviously I'd started to work with along the way. But it was just a massive opportunity to kind of gather opinion as I went. And I've ended up working with so many of those people in one way or another since. But once I got my head around the fact that I had no identity anymore, then it was all fine. But, you know, I still had the absolute fear before launching Blurred, the absolute fear, because I went to a big industry dude 2 nights before we were due to launch, and I thought no one's going to care. And actually, I realised everyone did care. So then I had the fear of, oh my God, what do you think? This is just ludicrous. So, you know, I got in at 3 a.m. the next morning, had a terrible hangover, and this is where one of my business partners was amazing. She was like, because we had a big fancy website with a film at the front of it. And she was like, let's strip everything and just have the film and nothing else. You know, take all the pressure off. That's why she was amazing. This is Katie. And she did that. And instantly then, you know, it just changed that. And actually, you know, when we launched, the reaction was great. It's because people are in the main really supportive, you know. It's more yourself that it's in those dark hours that you worry about stuff.
So what was it? What were your fears? You talked about the fears of leaving Unity. What were the fears of starting Blurred?
Well, just that, you know, what if no one cared? What if, actually, do you know what? I never really had huge doubts that it wouldn't work. I know I had much more, proportionately leaving Unity was massive and launching Blurred was tiny. I think part of that fear just before it was a huge hangover. but of course, there are the concerns that you're going to make the same mistakes again. And I definitely carried a bunch of baggage with me, which I've worked very closely with my coach on to realize that not everyone is the same and not every relationship is the same. But I was never really worried about it. I mean, I was a bit worried financially. You know, I remember this hilarious conversation with a friend in like in January. And I said, you know, no, we're having a cup of tea in my house. And I told her no one in this house has earned any money since before 2 Christmases ago. And she was like, oh my God. Because when we set up Blurred, you know, I couldn't pay myself at first. And in the end, could pay myself a long time before I thought I could. But there was still that kind of, you know, realization of that. And it was another, you know, if I'm being really open and honest, you know, I really wanted another baby. And thought, you know what, I can do it. I could do Blurred and have another baby. And then when I realized I couldn't, That was devastating. I just didn't have the energy, actually. You know, I was just like, I'm in my mid-40s now. I can't do it. But apart from that, I didn't really... Well, I guess I just got angry with Blair then and was like, you better deliver. Mm. You know, if I'm giving up, you know, another baby because of this company, it better deliver for me. But to be fair to it has, and it did, and it's been glorious.
That's interesting. Right? So some really kind of emotional moments.
Yeah.
Like really quite profound. So you've had this experience of sort of the last 3 years of blurred. So there's been this explosion of exiting Unity in emotionally, financially, yeah. Fear, identity. There's a little sort of sojourn of sort of absorbing information and co-creating with all these interesting people. It's a great idea. No agenda meetups with people. That's brilliant. Yeah.
And I still do them now, by the way. I still do at least 2 or 3 a week now.
Really? Interesting.
Well, I get all my inspiration from them because, you just talk to people and you break out of your own echo chamber. It's vital.
I think it's great. I'm going to steal that because I'm habituated to be inside, basically. Like I'm working from home kind of thing. And through lockdown, I just realized, actually on that trip I've just been on, that I was so afraid of leaving the house.
Yeah.
Like, you know, not really, but I suppose I was just, what am I going to do? And what about this? What about that?
Yeah,
I think in some way, like to your point, echo chambers is one thing, but just literally getting out nowadays.
Yeah. No,
totally. So I love that. And so then you've got this new thing happens, but then it's coinciding with your personal life in terms of hopes and for family. And you've got this growth experience and then pandemic, and then you've had this health thing. So can you talk a little bit about, because you spoke very openly in a roundup last year, end of last year, about your first 3 years at Blurred. But really the theme of it was a health theme more than a business theme.
Yeah, it totally was, because, I mean, we've grown extraordinarily, like in terms of, we work for some of the world's biggest businesses, dealing with some of the world's biggest issues, you know, from Coke to Kellogg's and Primark, for example, on everything from sustainability and DEI and, you know, social issues and stuff, all sorts. So it's amazing. And our growth has been phenomenal. And I love the work we do because it makes a material difference to the world. But we have been marred by terrible situations relating to cancer, by far disproportionate to our size and age. You know, we have been touched in so many ways. So one of our team had quite advanced cancer. Thank God she's all right now. But people have lost so many relatives, from mothers and fathers to younger sisters leaving, you know, young children, to one of my founding partners losing her father, but in the most horrific way due to cancer that I won't go into because it's not my story to tell. Which resulted in her being off for 7.5 months on compassionate leave, because there was also a history in her life that made this horrific event even worse. So many hit by that. And then I myself was had a cancer scare at the end of last year. And, I mean, luckily for me, I had surgery, etc., and I'm totally fine. And actually, it wasn't cancer. It could have been, but it wasn't. And it's amazing, actually. I'll tell you a little story in a minute. And let me write it down or else I'll forget about how I ended up in that situation of getting ahead of it. But, you know, and that's the post I wrote. I call it the lows and highs of 3 years of blurred. And it was extraordinary. But and it is hard to find silver linings in a situation where people have died. So there is no way I'm saying here, oh, actually, this was a good thing, because you cannot say it in this situation. But a few things did happen. So, and I'll quote another podcaster and a friend, Maya, who summarized and said, he just realized life was too short to do shit work. And I was like, oh my God, that is it. You know, you kind of nailed it. Any pettiness within the company just melted away. You know, we leant further into our values. We pushed back harder on clients and we soared. You know, you think all this horror, frankly, and these difficulties would have given us license to cut corners. But it was the opposite. We were like, if we're going to do anything, we do it brilliantly, or we're not going to bother at all. And that's been amazing. And, you know, what started out as a few founders is now this tight team of people completely united in terms of our values and our beliefs and the change we want to make in the world, actually doing it. And I would never wish any of those horrors upon anyone, but somehow in the face of all that adversity, you know, we soared. And, mm-hmm. and now that's part of our DNA, you know? And so for many, like dealing with COVID was a massive thing. For us, it was another C word, you know, it was cancer. Mm. And my little story around this is quite a good little story is I mentioned I'm neurodiverse and have various, you know, conditions and stuff. And at the height of lockdown earlier this year, you remember when it was like January, it was a year ago and we were all locked down again, it was rubbish. And I started hearing these voices repeating in my mind. Not like, you know, people talking to me, but just like I'd hear a sentence and then it would play in my mind over and over and over and over and over again. And I was quite dismissive of it. But in the end, I called my doctors thinking, you know, maybe I just need to up my sleep medication because I do have this weird sleep condition. Mm. That just means I never really sleep, which is a superpower because I can think 24 hours a day and I wake up and I've solved the world's problem. But they diagnosed me with something called pseudo-hallucinations. And prescribed antipsychotic drugs for people who normally have bipolar or schizophrenia. And I was like, no way am I taking those. And they said it was purely environmental. You know, it's because I was stuck in the same four walls. My filing system wasn't working because I couldn't, you know, via Zoom, I'm a really visual person. I remember what people are wearing. That's how my information is filed. And suddenly everything looked the same. So I couldn't remember whether I had spoken to someone a week ago or a year ago. My mind was just like having a bit of a moment. And they said, look, the alternative is mindfulness. And I was like, what? Are you kidding me? Like, have you ever met me? I can't sit still for a minute. This is a joke. But in the end, you know, I didn't want the alternative. So I went on this mindfulness course and I so rebelled against it. I was like, this is an absolute joke. I can't do this. But I ended up really leaning into this one thing called a body scan, which is a half an hour. And there's this voice and you start with your big toe and you spend half an hour going through it, every inch of your body. And I was honestly rubbish at everything else, but this I kind of did. And I ended up getting stuck on my chest each time on the left-hand side. And I ended up going to the doctors because of everything that happened at work with so many people. Mm. And Sarah Harding had just died from Girls Aloud, and that was devastating. And I went to the doctors. I said, look, I know this is insane, but this is what I'm experiencing. And in under 3 weeks, I'd had surgery. And had I waited for, the physical manifestations of what I was feeling, it would have been a very different situation. But how amazing is that? I mean, how amazing is that?
It is amazing. And what's fascinating about that, and a fantastic story, is I've been getting into a lot of, I call it mindfulness, but I tuning into one's own, or getting out of your own head. Yeah. So in our culture, what's celebrated is thinking. Intellectualism, you know, rational mind, right?
Yeah.
We think our way out of the problem. You know, follow the science is the mantra, right? It's intellectualism. Now, there are other ways of knowing things, you know, and your mind is very powerful, but it's one of a number of things. You know, you've got brain cells scattered throughout your body and the different parts, including your gut. And they that's your subconscious. That's where memories and emotions are stored. And so you tune into those, but you can through, I don't know, over caffeination, addiction, workaholism, just not even doing it, be out of, disconnected from your body.
Yeah.
Which is what happened to you. So your body gave you a message and you were able to hear it.
But only because I was listening.
There you go.
Yeah, now I do mindfulness 3 or 4 mornings a week. I do exercise every day, which started actually in lockdown because I was like, I'm going to go mad otherwise, you know, and I've kept it. But it's really interesting. But again, for the theme of this, that was a bad thing. You know, I was struggling mentally.
Mm.
Yet, you know, had I not been, I wouldn't have ever done mindfulness. Had I never done mindfulness, you know, I wouldn't have experienced what I experienced.
What's in it reminds me, there's a book. I'm a big fan of a doctor called Gabor Mate, who's quite well-renowned in the field of addiction, but also in terms of child rearing and ADHD. And he's written a lot of books. And he's got a book called When the Body Says No.
Hmm.
It's precise. It's about your mind-body connection. yeah, it's really interesting. It really helped me because, again, I've had mental health issues and it manifested itself very physically. And so that's why I kind of was struggling with this for years. But he said, basically, the basic premise is your body, it gives you a message. And one of which could be burnout. Yeah. So your body gave you a message, which was mental health voices in my head thing.
Yeah.
Right. That's just, I mean, again, I don't know. I'm not a doctor. I'm just riffing on this premise of the book. But that's why you went and did the mindfulness. So you got a message and you acted on it. And then that told you that, so that cancer was already growing.
Yeah. Yeah. It's amazing, isn't it? And it's, I just find it so empowering. And it just does, each time I have to lean into difficulty or I think things are going badly, it helps me reframe it in my mind.
Yeah, that's great.
You know, and sometimes you need to blow up your company. You know, you blew it up and then rebuilt it. For me, I needed to blow up by walking away to build something different, as in there's different manifestations of this stuff. Or I needed to blow up my relationship between my mind and my body.
Yes.
In order to actually now have a connection to it. I had no relationship with my body at all. We were distant strangers, you know. And now, you know, just before Christmas, I did a body scan and suddenly I was in agony everywhere. And lo and behold, 3 days later, I got flu, you know. Mm. But before I did the scan, I felt nothing. But I've learned a different way. But it was hilarious when I went back on this mindfulness course, because I was the dunce of the class. Trust me, I was a complete dunce. And then by the end of it, I was like, oh my God, this is so amazing. Look, you've even managed to now do this. I was like, yeah, I'm now the guru. I'm not, I was the dunce. But
the dunce, where the evangelist dunce, maybe. That's really cool. Yeah. But no, I mean, I think it's amazing. And what's so interesting there is this idea of breaking it and building it again. Breaking it. And it's a gift. I mean, again, for my business, it's the same business as a legal entity, but it was a completely different business from in terms of, and it's really built out of the changes I and my business partner and we went through. But it's a different proposition, same kind of core thing, but we're much more interesting. It's unlocked a path that for me is like, I could do this for the next 20 years.
Yeah.
It's just sort of super exciting and it's very rich in lessons. And again, I don't want to go there again. And like with illness and health and all that kind of stuff, it's not, you can't take these things lightly, but they can be very instructive.
Yeah, exactly.
Brilliant. Well, we're heading towards the end of our podcast time. We've covered a whole bucket load of stuff there. It's really fantastic. What I'd like to do is just ask you, as we're wrapping up, one question, which I like to ask people. So this is a podcast for entrepreneurs with entrepreneurs talking, but there's loads of advice for entrepreneurs out there. What advice should entrepreneurs ignore?
Well, anything that doesn't resonate, I guess. Going back to what you talked about, brain cells in your gut. Not every bit of advice that you hear from entrepreneurs is right for you. It's like we're all different. You know, that's something we believe in at Blurred, is helping people be their true best selves. We're not all the same, and we should lean into people's diversity in every sense. So it's like, just because you've read somewhere that this is a characteristic of an entrepreneur or this is a thing that you should or shouldn't do, screw that. You know, entrepreneurism, really, it's just about having the guts, frankly, to go and do something for yourself. But I think guts is an important word there. It's like lean into yours, and that will help lead the way. And what my coach says to me all the time, which I do believe and fully, is never lean into fear. Because, you know, like that's why she used to say to me, you've got 20 minutes. I'm going to give you 20 minutes a day. You could get all your fear out, write it all down and talk to me if you need to. But when you follow fear, it doesn't take you to a good place. Or when you're driven by fear, you know, do acknowledge it. But like I say, in those 20-minute bracketed safe spaces. But when I've pushed forward with belief and excited about the opportunity, it's led me to great places. When I've been driven by the fear, it's taken me down the wrong path. So there's two semi-answers there. Kind of don't follow fear and follow your own guts, because even your way of doing things is going to be completely different to mine. It doesn't mean yours is right, mine is wrong, or vice versa. It's just the beauty of setting up your own business is you can build it around your values and things that matter to you.
I think that's really, really great and a really important point is that, and it requires some courage that, because inevitably, if you are your true best self, then it's different to everybody else's.
Yeah.
You know, like you said, truly diverse, if you're doing true to yourself, it's going to be just different to everybody else. But that feels scary because you kind of want to be part of a gang with everybody else. But you got to, it's like walking your own path.
Yeah.
And I think, and then that feels scary and that's the fear. So I think I'm really with you on that because I can, creating anything out of fear is just a bad thing to do. From scarcity, fear, lack, anything like that, it just becomes a very much more sort of restricted set of things.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that's fantastic. Well, I think there's somewhere we'll write the t-shirt in there is don't follow your fear, do follow your belief. That's on the back. Front on the front, on the back. There we go. What an incredible, beautiful, open conversation, Nick. Thank you so much. If people want to connect with you, where do we find you?
Just find me on LinkedIn. Just Nick Gove, on LinkedIn, and do message me. I'm a massive believer in karma. You know, I'll remember everybody who, you know, had those unagendered coffees with me when I was between things. So, you know, contact me. And, yeah, good luck to everyone. And thank you for having me. I've really loved it.
I really loved it. And I think I'm sure everybody else listening is going to really love it too, because it's been fantastic. And hit her up on LinkedIn. Check her out on other social platforms if you get a chance. Check out our company. It's really fantastic. We didn't get into it, but really check it out. It's really interesting. By the way, there's loads of really innovative stuff they're doing around engaging with their team and on developing the strategy of their company that's, I think, I personally have been making notes on. So a great source of great ideas. And thanks everyone for joining us, and I'll see you all next time.
Thank you.
Do you want to get the top 5 tidbits from each episode emailed to your inbox every Friday? Yes, you do. It saves you having to go through and make notes and make a note of all the books and all the ideas that are in the podcast. We go through and we choose the top 5 we like, plus put all the links into that email. So if you just go up to honeyibluupthebusiness.com, yes, that's honeyibluupthebusiness.com, and just enter your email address. There's a little box. Just enter it in, and we will send you that information. And it saves you having to make notes and all that. That's make your life a bit easier. And of course, if you did enjoy the episode, please consider subscribing. We are trying to help people through this. So the more people that subscribe, review, rate on Apple, Google Podcasts, Spotify, the more people will see it and the more we can help. So help us help other people, other entrepreneurs like you. And before I go, I've got to say big up to my company, the tech department, the company we blew up and put back together again. They're generously supporting me on this mission through the podcast. So if you guys want to have a look at a company that can really help you improve your technology, make it better so your business gets better too, boosting your sales and your profit and a bit more sanity in your life, a little less stress, then head up to thetechdept.com, the tech department. My company, give us a look. On behalf of all of us here, thank you for listening, and I'll see you next time.